Hello, everyone. It is I Should Be Writing number 528. Today is October 13th, 2020. We're still here. At least I am. I hope you are. And if you're not, I doubt you're listening. This got existential real fast. I just realized I didn't plug my computer in. I am a little out of sorts because I'm actually productive today, so I didn't have, you know, I was doing work, and then I looked up and it was almost stream time, so I'm a little out of it. Not out of it. I'm a little unprepared. Hello, AK Kimmy. Hello, Brenny. Good to see you guys. So I am going to be talking a little bit more about NaNoWriMo because, for me, just mentally getting prepared is a huge thing. Not even wondering about what I'm going to write about, but just knowing that it's coming. Fun fact! I just found this out. Good morning, Bill. I got a nice letter from Graham Faulkner from NaNoWriMo asking me to contribute a video to support people during NaNoWriMo. And I said, sure. And he said he'd like to check to catch up. And I said, when? And he's like, well, I'm completely slammed in October. Let's do November. And I'm like, but isn't that National Novel Writing Month? But I guess all of their work has to be on the front end. And then it either works or it doesn't. But, you know, I guess his job is more this month than next month. Actually, it's all year round. I know he does a lot of stuff, but it's, yeah. Hey, Todd. Good to see you. Thank you for following, Karen Marias. I apologize for anybody's Twitch name that I screw up, because I screw up a lot. One thing I did yesterday was spend some time going through at least the three editing videos and putting them up on YouTube and making them look nice. And I've stopped porting my audio directly from my feed to YouTube and started... I'm going to have to do it by hand to clean up the video. By cleaning up, I mean, like, put a front and a back on it that's not Twitch specific. But the other reason I have to do this is because John Anilio, my dear friend and creator of the I Should Be Writing theme song, sells his music on CD Baby. CD Baby has little machines, little spiders that crawl YouTube to find music available on CD Baby, and they do copyright flags. Every single episode of I Should Be Writing that has the song I Should Be Writing that John Anilio wrote for me and I paid him for is flagged as a copyright violation. So I did a dispute on one, and that was great. They said, hey, you won your dispute. Congratulations. And then the next one went up and it disputed because CD Baby still went out there and said, hey. So I'm going to be editing this video to not have music and just go onto YouTube. The good news is that I am verified on YouTube. I did not know that. I think the red flag went up when I tried to port directly to YouTube from Final Cut, and it's like, no, you can't do that unless you're verified. And I guess it didn't know I was verified, so I assumed I wasn't. Hey, Brother Burke. Big fan of you. Your show and Ditch Diggers. First time watching live. I, too, am prepping for Pandemoremo 2020. I had not heard that one. Hey, Underpope. Good to see you. Well, welcome, Brother Burke. Glad to have you. I'm having a lot of fun with the live stuff. And, you know, you can ask your questions. Of course, I don't write down people's names because I'm bad at this or something, but I did, try to look into a couple of editing, books that some people asked for. And from what I can tell, the Story Grid is actually considered one of the better ones. And there's also, what is it? I'm looking it up right now. The Artful Edit on the Practice of Editing Yourself by Susan Bell. I can't endorse this one, but it sounded really good. It sounds like something that I would like to pick up. So, if you're looking for books on editing, I would say StoryGrid and maybe try the Artful Edit. Why is my computer still not... Oh, it's not plugged in on the other side! Wow! I am just on fire today, guys! Excuse me. Don't mind me. There we go! Now, everything should be working. The charging and the lights and all that stuff. Okay. Hey, Starvin. Good to see you. I hope that helped. So, first thing I want to talk about is backups. And I know it's not sexy, and I know it's not writing, I know it's not character, I know it's not outlining, I know it's not how to deal with your family over Thanksgiving, but this is one of those things like flossing and having an emergency fund and savings that everyone says you should do, and you know you probably should try to do, but you put it off because you don't... There's no immediate need. And that's the thing. I don't think our brains are wired for preventative stuff. And that's kind of weird. I have a genetic condition that is the kind of thing that kills me over decades. Decades. You know, like, they discovered this, lots of people dying of this much later in life. But it's a genetic condition you have your whole life. So I have to do some treatments, but I also have to modify my diet a little bit. Thing is, I feel fine. I feel great. So modifying my diet is a pain in the butt because I do not see any benefit from it. Now, logically, of course, I know I want to live as long as I can, but my brain does not go, I felt X, and so I did this thing, and then I felt Y. So clearly this thing is good for me, and I must keep doing it. It's like, you know you should do backups. You know you should. And yet, I've had friends of mine who listened to this podcast who were pro writers who freaked out when their hard drive died. And I'm like, you didn't have a backup? I've done shows on backups. That's why I'm bringing it up now, because I just feel very strongly about it. It's my seatbelt. It's my flossing. It's my safety net. I feel so strongly about this, and I'm baffled when people don't do it. So, to start off with, there's so many ways you can handle this. I'm not going to cover your entire computer because that's not my skill set, but I am going to talk about your work. First, we'll start with Scrivener because that's what I use and I know a lot of the audience does. Scrivener will have an automated upload to Dropbox. You can get a free Dropbox account. So you get a free Dropbox account, connect it with Scrivener, and then you've got, it backs up frequently while you're writing. Like, if your computer dies, you'll lose maybe a paragraph or something. It's that often that it just uploads what you write. So Scrivener to Dropbox. You can do it old school way and mail yourself the file every day after you're done, which is super easy, but it requires you to keep up with it and do it every day. I like the stuff you do, the set it and forget it thing. Oh, good, Todd. I'm glad I'm not the only one who has those power cord issues. Yeah, I was proud of myself for plugging it in on the desktop here, but not, it wasn't plugged in underneath the desk. Yeah. Yes. Hey, Devo Spice, recommend Crash Plan for full computer backup. Crash Plan is good. I use both Backblaze and Google Drive has a backup. I pay like $3 a month for Google to just grab everything and update it. And I use Backblaze, which is a yearly fee, but I can't remember how much it is. And then I have an external hard drive that I just plug in when I'm at my desk. And I use a Mac, so Mac has a Time Machine utility that you plug in an external hard drive and you say, hey, Time Machine, that's where I want my backups to go. And then when you plug it in, Time Machine will go, okay, here's a backup. And then I don't know how often it decides to do a backup, but it's a couple of times a day. And I don't know what Windows has. Maybe you guys can talk about it in the chat. Hey, Hammered Frog, good to see you. Set it and forget it is the only way I can function. Yeah, I just try to take into account that some people don't have Scrivener, some people don't have Macs, some people can't put a backup program into their budget. So I'm thinking, like, the cheapest way is to send yourself the file when you're done with it. Just email it so it's on a server away. You can also write at forthewords.com. I love For the Words. I just wish that it... I don't know. I don't remember to go there enough. And so For the Words, it's numeral 4. And it is a very deeply designed RPG based on your writing speed. So the basics are you can say, I'm going to fight a Wigno. It's some sort of fantasy beastie. To fight that, I need to write 250 words in 30 minutes or an hour. Super easy beast. And then once you hit 250 words, a little thing pops up and says, hey, you beat this thing. Congratulations. Here's some XP and here's some loot. And then you get... You have an avatar, and the loot you get can trick out the avatar. And everybody likes games where you have a character that you can put neat clothes on. And if you don't, then I don't want to talk to you, because, I mean, who doesn't? Come on. So that does cost money, but I think you might get a month free. So if you time it right, and they always have special monsters and stuff during NaNoWriMo. But you have to do it on the site. And near as I can tell, there's no, like, theft. You can make it public, or you can keep it private. I keep mine private. And, you know, I like writing in Scrivener, but if I want to use For the Words, I have to write on the webpage. But that is another way of doing a backup. Writing online. Using Google Docs. Using any other... Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like I should have done more research to, you know, if you don't use Google Docs, use something else. But I'm sure there's something else out there that allow you to save something away from your computer. It's so important. You don't think about it. You don't think about flossing until you start bleeding or your teeth fall out. And it's... And I feel like I do this every once in a while, and people listen and go, yeah, backups, good idea. And then I'll hear from somebody who I know as a listener tells me that they lost everything. And I'm like, I told you, I did everything I could. I get a little too passionate about this from time to time. Hammered Frog, and test a restore once in a while so you don't have to learn how to restore in a moment of crisis. That is a great idea. Yes, I actually used Restore on Backblaze yesterday because I had deleted a video that I had not uploaded to YouTube yet, and I was trying to make space on my computer, so I realized I had deleted it, and I didn't even have a flare of anxiety. And if you know me, anxiety flares up pretty much at anything. Because I knew that I had multiple backups, so I could go find this file somewhere. I knew it. Even with Word, which has its own backup, I still saved it to Dropbox. So, there are arguments about... The reason why I have so many redundant backups is one time, and I felt so bad about this, I did a podcast interview and they asked me to record my half. And after several days, I hadn't heard from them, and I thought in my head that I'd sent it to them, and I deleted it. And then they asked me 30 days after the recording, over 30 days after the recording, and I went to my cloud backup, and it had deleted it because it was over 30 days old. So, and if I had a fire, then my external hard drive would probably go. That's why I have redundancies. I don't want to worry about failing to plug in my hard drive, worry about a disaster in my house, worry about not having Wi-Fi and being able to upload. You don't need to be as anal as me, but please put something in line. Just sit for a moment and think about your computer and how you'd feel if you lost everything right now. It sucks. Starvin says, surprisingly relevant fashion souls. Are we going on to dressing avatar games? Because I'm all about that. Tell me more about fashion souls, Starvin, please. Hey, Cro-Mag, good to see you. I use Sprinter by Astro House. It auto-saves to Dropbox or Google Drive. That's interesting. I use Google Drive external and upload to Notion, says Karen. I don't know what Notion is. Can you explain more about that? Cro-Mag also uses Scribner. And Ancilla made it. Well done. Good to see you. Thank you for coming. Actually, you guys are mentioning a lot of really good stuff. If anybody can, because remember, people are going to be listening to this later. Can we go over, let's see. Tell me what Notion is. Tell me what Scribner is. I think I know Scribner, but I'm not fully sure. Starvin says, it's a joke about a game series called Dark Souls, which is notoriously difficult adventurous game. People will give up better and better armor to wear things that look cooler. Oh, man. See, I gave up on Dark Souls before I even knew there was good armor. I'm offended by the fact that they start a game with a boss battle that you're supposed to run away from. All gaming has taught me not to run away from a battle. Unless I am dying and I need to regroup. But it's like if you go into a battle, you assume the game has given you the ability to at least scrape by. But no, I died several times and then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to run away from that. And then that made me angry and I tried it a little bit longer and just bounced off that hard. I definitely think if I kept playing, even though I do like really cool armor really cool armor and weapons and the looks of things, I'm pretty sure I'd swaddle my character in as many weird unattractive things as I could just to keep them safe in Dark Souls, because you don't mess around with that. My coffee cup is translucent. Or transparent. Translucent. I can't remember. I was looking at my clothes today thinking, it's a problem I have now that I'm streaming that my favorite color's green. Scrivener, not Scribner. Okay, Cro-Mag. Because I know Scribner's a thing, I just don't remember what it is. So yeah, Scrivener to Dropbox, and I think a lot of programs are trying to work in backups. But, like, with Scrivener, you do have to do that step of connecting it to Dropbox. And if you don't have a Dropbox account, you need to make the Dropbox account. If you're only uploading text files, you do not need a pro Dropbox account. You can get a free one. Notion is a note-taking, writing, and all-around keeping track of your life app. Basically awesomeness. Okay. Thank you, Karen. So that is the... Sorry. Going back up the chat. Where was it? Google Drive, external, and upload it to Notion. So, and if you don't do backups, I hope we're not overwhelming you. I'm just trying to say there are so many options that at this point it's almost like work to not backup at least your writing. And if you're serious about your computer, I recommend doing one of the like Backblaze or external hard drive or CrashPlan? I thought CrashPlan went out of business or got bought by somebody. I seem to remember using them in the past. Anyway, so backups are very important, and I probably was not planning on spending so much time on backups, but It is a drum I need to beat more often, but probably less passionately per episode. So yeah, how are people doing with their prep? I'm actually a little, I mean, worried is the wrong word, because I'm not, it's not a bad thing, it's just I have some small projects I need to get done, and they don't fit in the NaNoWriMo 50,000 word area, and I want to do NaNoWriMo, I want to do it every year, but now I'm looking at, like, maybe trying to finish these projects before November, even though that might burn me out. But I feel like I need to have one big project for November, and I'm not sure what that's going to be. I'm working on a lot of smaller stuff right now. So I am honestly not sure. I finally went and updated NaNoWriMo.org for myself today and put in, just titled my novel TBD. And, but yeah, I'm still not sure what I'm writing. I mean, I know I just went through three outlines of one book, so that might be something to fall back on. Hey, Whirling Nerdish. I'm preparing for our con and I'm drowning, but trying to squeeze in prep where I can. Sybil Rose, my prep is going well, working through an outline with Save the Cat. Hammered Frog says, I'm skipping NaNoWriMo this year, just too much going on in other areas of life. I salute you for making that decision. Because I do it almost every year, and I fail every year. So it's like, you'd think I'd learn, but I'm still all pulled in by the shiny idea of the shared experience of doing this thing that I love to do, even though it's doing the thing that I love to do more often and for longer word count per day than I'm used to. And also, I still don't see how people can do it over Thanksgiving. I even come up with, like, advice on how to do it over Thanksgiving, and still, I find it very difficult to handle words over Thanksgiving. If anybody has any ideas, please let me know. Because, like I said, I know what sounds good. That's a lot of getting up early, staying up late, padding your days around the holiday, depending on whether you're helping with food and cleanup, maybe just once everybody settles down to watch, is there going to be football this year? I don't even know. Settles down to watch TV and their turkey haze, maybe slip off then and go do something. Those are all the advices I have. And then again, I don't follow them. So if you have had something work for you over the holidays, and I'm speaking specifically American-focused here. I don't know if there are any international holidays that mess up, or perhaps some religious holidays that fall in that window this month, or over November. But let me know how, especially you guys in the chat, let me know how you handle that, because I don't do it well. Karen says, I was completely stuck with outlining and then came along Save the Cat episode, so thanks. I'm very happy to hear that. The outlining series was a little clumsy because it was less of me showing people how to do it and more me trying out different pants to see what fit. And only one of them did. So, but Save the Cat is my favorite. So I'm really glad that helped out. Okay, Kimmy, I think I might try a crafty version of Nano. Ooh, like, more books or, like, knitting or crocheting or what? Darwin says, there will be football this year. The NFL is trying hard to push ahead despite everything. Well, I hope everybody stays healthy. And didn't somebody break his ankle 2 days ago? I did not follow the trending things on Twitter because I know inevitably I would see it, and I didn't want to see it, but I heard there was, the word gruesome was used, so. Yeah, sports are scary sometimes. Yeah, ankles. Yeah, the Dallas QB, don't go looking. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember Joe Theismann, so. Yeah, good times. So I unfortunately didn't write anything else down. Why didn't I do that? Because I was going to talk about some other things other than backups today. If you are on the site, if you are on NaNoWriMo.org, I am Mighty Mer. Same place I am everywhere else, so if you want to friend me, I will friend you back. Okay, Kimmy's going to do a combo of journals and crochet, maybe YouTube vids, gotta ponder. That sounds exciting. That's one thing I like about NaNoWriMo is a lot of people try to adopt it to whatever works for them, and even though it started with quote-unquote rules, I think they've relaxed it a little bit to mean, okay, maybe it doesn't have to be the same book the whole time, or maybe it doesn't have to be a book you start on November 1st. Just try to get that 1,700 words down every day. Wow, yeah, my mind's a little bit of a blank now. I don't know what's going on. Hammered Frog, happy accidents with reading recovered documents where your earlier draft had something you ended up using. Okay, any happy accidents when reading recovered documents where your earlier draft had something that you ended up using? Probably. I can't think of anything. The weird thing that happens to me in reading old drafts is thinking there needs to be something else in this paragraph. I can see that now, and I'll put it in, and then like the next sentence or the next paragraph will have the thing I thought was missing. Which makes me wonder if my paragraph structure is weak or if I'm just really good at anticipating my own moves. I don't know. But I usually don't go looking. I save a lot of deleted scenes and pages, but I usually don't go looking through them again. I'm a very forward-looking writer. When cleaning up this room to turn into more of a recording room, I found my college trunk, and it has 3.5-inch floppy disks in it with my writing from college. And I seem to remember people saying you should hold on to the work you do at the time. And now, looking back, I'm thinking, no. No, definitely not. No. I really do not want to see that. I mean, I remember a lot of stuff that I wrote in college, and, you know, it was beginning writer stuff. I don't need to see that again. But I think it's good, you know, probably for all the reasons I just spouted about backups, to keep your deleted stuff just in case you ever think, I'm going to take something out. No, wait, I'm going to put it back in. I had a book that became a nightmare because I had three agents convinced that they could sell it. Only I needed to, this was over years, and I just needed to make changes to it. And I did not keep my versions. And so one time I had to skew all the characters younger to make it more YA. And then I had to take it back older, but I didn't have the old draft. And so, yeah, keeping older drafts is a good idea in case that ever happens. Yeah. Let's see. Momentum, K. Kimmy wants to talk about. Is that something I should talk about, or is that just, yay, momentum? I think with momentum, I think a habit and a routine is going to carry you far. I was joking with my husband that, it's another one of those things that feels obvious, but it's like I put it into words that finally really hit home for me, which was, you want to make these things habits, because you don't think, you won't even consider not doing your habits, like personal hygiene or, you know, cooking dinner or, you know, the days that you don't do these things, you feel off. And it's one of those things where I would love to make writing and, say, daily walks a habit, because then it's like, this is the time I do this thing. And it may not be good, and it may not be, it may not take a long time. Like, I may just walk to the end of the street and back, but if I can get that habit ingrained in my head, the idea of not doing it is going to be just ridiculous. Why would you not do that? Why would you not brush your teeth? I mean, granted, brushing your teeth takes a lot less time than walking and exercising and writing and all that, but still, that's what habits are good for. They're parts of your days that you just don't even think about, because that's what happens when, that's what happens at this point of the day. And, you know, if your day changes or your schedule changes, rather, then that's harder. I remember when my daughter was an infant, I did not realize it, but I was going through the habit of putting her to bed, coming down the stairs, giving the dog a treat, like a Chewy, and then settling down. And then one day I came down the stairs after putting her to bed, and the dog's just sitting there looking very happy. And I'm thinking, what is happening? It was a very Pavlovian moment where I realized I had trained her that when I put the baby to bed and come down the stairs at night, that is treat time. And I just created this habit without even realizing it. And it's still a habit, and my kid's in college now. So, yeah, it's momentum and habits, I think, are a good thing. I read something fascinating about rewards and how a lot of times people say, okay, give yourself a big reward after you finish this. Look for a big Lego set, or, there's a new Hades Tigers bomber jacket in the Blazeball Cares store that's just gorgeous. And, you know, I'm thinking, if I get through NaNoWriMo, I'll buy one of those. But then I read that crappy little rewards might actually be more motivational. I don't even remember all the reasoning behind it. Oh no. But it's something like putting a sticker on your calendar, or doing the big red X's that people mention with Seinfeld writing every day. Those little rewards, they still trigger like a dopamine hit in your brain, but it doesn't cost anything, or very little, and you still have a visual representation of the reward, but it's not so big that if you don't get it, you're hugely disappointed in yourself. I think that's all the stuff about the little rewards. So think about what you could do. I think that's one of the things that why For the Words works so well, because you do get the dopamine hits of there are beasties that you can you can fight that are 1,667 words in a certain amount of time. And, you know, there are 2,000 word beasts, and it's just a very, very interesting system. Like I said, I guess I don't like writing in the browser. That usually I'll go on there and I'll pay my monthly fee to have another month of it, and I'll write for a couple of days and then I'll get distracted or whatever, but it's still a fun thing to do. I just haven't made it a habit yet. So there's the habit thing again. Remick Petra, seeing you struggle through some of the outlining methods was actually very helpful. It was reassuring to see that I'm not the only one who can't make them work. I'm glad. I feel very strongly that no writing advice is absolute, even mine. What I say on this show may not be absolute, may not work for you. Even the whole you should write every day and make a habit out of it, that doesn't work for some people. Some people have schedules that don't fit that. Some people have health problems where they will have a day where they just don't have the spoons to write. And then they see all these people saying, you should write every day. And then that brings them down because they wonder, they think something's wrong with me. If you have issues like that, obviously something is wrong with you, but that's another thing putting, like, you can't write. That's what it's telling people. You can't write if you have a chronic illness or if you have a schedule that won't let you grab certain hours in a day or minutes in a day. And these people often will wait until they have a good day and binge write. And it works for them. So even the whole write every day advice is not absolute. So yeah, I tried very hard to say, I'm pretty sure for some people the snowflake method is wonderful because the snowflake method forces you to write the plot of your book many times. Many times. And that bored the hell out of me, but I'm sure it's really good for clarifying some things if that works for you. So I was very careful not to say the snowflake method was bad. It's just not for me. I was going somewhere with that binge writing and the dang it. Anyway, what's up with chat? Billy, boy, I'm very glad to see so many people wanting to do NaNoWriMo. When I first did it 6 years ago, I had a fellow writer at the bookstore cafe make fun of me saying it was just a kid's thing. Oh, that sucks. I just talked about giving yourself stickers for finishing your writing that day. It doesn't matter. For one thing, it's not a kid's thing. The young writers program is a kid's thing. And if you're doing that with a classroom of students, then you're a hero. You're not even, you know, doing something for kids. You're doing a kid's thing. You're doing something for kids, and that's even better. But anything you need, anything that makes you get your work done, if it's a sticker, if it's a cookie, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Because if it works, then it works. And I'm not saying it is a kid's thing, but I'm saying even if it were, you probably wrote more than they did that day. And if not, then something will happen karmically to them for feeling all superior and stuff. I don't know. I'm just thinking you shouldn't look down on anybody else's writing practices. Because if something works for somebody and they get their words down and they finish their stuff, we're not to judge. Not at all. It was reading Zen and the Art of Writing. Something Ray Bradbury put in that book that crushed me when I was a very, very insecure writer in college. And I quit writing for a long time because I thought, I mean, that's Ray Bradbury. If I don't do it the way Ray Bradbury says, then clearly I'm doing something wrong. So yeah, anybody, I don't like people who say anything absolute because everybody's different. It's if something doesn't work for you, then try something else. If a outlining method doesn't work for you, try something else or try pantsing. But Billy, I'm really sorry that happened. That's not cool. I know there inevitably is some writer out there going, for me, every month is NaNoWriMo month or NaNoWriMo. It's like, it's not for you. It's like white people complaining about Beyonce's music. I mean, if you like it, great, but pretty sure it's not for you. And the NaNoWriMo was created to encourage people to try writing when they never had before, when they put stops on themselves over and over again, and it's just there to say, listen, just write it all down. Don't worry about quality. Get the quantity on there and then fix it later. You can do this. It's okay. It's permission. That's who it's for. And if you see prose doing it, it's usually to get a jump start on a novel. Or for me, I just think it's fun. So, you know, it's not... It's that concept of people are allowed to like things that you may think are silly. And don't crap on that. Because if it's not harming anybody, then it's not anybody's place to tell you you're being stupid. Because what in the world does it matter to their life? So, I'm sorry. Bill, that makes me angry. just remembering ever since the beginning, it's been people mocking NaNoWriMo. And if it gets people writing, and if it makes somebody start and finish a project and make them feel amazing that they accomplished this very difficult thing, how can you say that's bad? How in the world can you say that's a bad thing? Sybil Rose, gotta duck out. We'll catch the rest on the replay. Good to see you, Sybil Rose. Thank you for dropping by. I hope I didn't miss you if you are catching it on the replay. It was good to see you. Thank you. And Hammered Frog, I feel the same way about outlining methods. I see the value, but now feel less intimidated that I'm just doing them wrong. Yeah, it's really whatever works for you. I'm grateful that there are so many different ways of approaching outlining, because as we saw, it may not work. When someone says there's this thing and it works and it doesn't work for you, then, I mean, maybe you have great confidence. And if you do, then I'm very proud of you and happy for you. But for me, my first thought is, what's wrong with me? And that's one reason why I'm so open and at times vulnerable on this show. Because I want people to know that whatever imposter syndrome or insecurities or doubt or worries they have about their writing, they're not alone. And yeah, it is a personal journey that you have to move through to get the work done. But knowing that everybody else is super confident, or thinking that everyone else is super confident, and you're the one questioning yourself, or worried, or hurt over the, hurt about the rejection you just got. Knowing you're not alone is big. And so I know people who have, like, there are lots of writing podcasts out there that are very sure of themselves, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be. I'm just saying this is why I do the podcast in this way and show you where I stumble, because I want you to see that you can do that and still, it's not going to stop you from making a career as long as you keep doing the work. I can't promise you'll have a career, of course, but I can promise you that all this doubt and insecurity and and worrying that an outlining method is not going to work for you and therefore what are you doing wrong, those are not the things that will stop you. You can move that. Feel the feelings, because they're there and they're legit, but you can keep going. I have perfect faith because, you know, I was able to, and I still have all the days of doubting myself and worrying, and yeah, so that's why. And if you find something out there that I have never been able to work before and it works for you, then I will be the first to cheer if you tell me about it, you know. Petra, I really appreciate your openness. Thank you. It's embarrassing to be vulnerable sometimes, but sometimes I'm resentful of the super confident people, because I know there's got to be insecurity in there somewhere. Come on, show me you're human. But maybe that's just me wanting to know that I'm not alone with the insecurities. So is anybody worried about anything for Nana? Is there a roadblock you anticipate? Is there somebody in your life that may not be supportive? That's the thing that always breaks my heart. But I know it happens. But if you have any questions, let me know. You can let me know in the chat right now, or you can let me know if you're listening or watching this later, mightymer@gmail.com. Happy to address it on the show. But I think I say I do it every year and I fail every year, but that's not exactly the truth. Because I believe there are no wasted words. If you write a crappy story, well, you've gotten a crappy story out of your head. If you've started a novel and ground to a halt, well, you know which direction not to go, and you might be able to salvage it. It can do the Thomas Edison thing of showing you how not to make a light bulb, how not to write, how not to go in one direction, but you're not going to find that out unless you do it. And if you write 35,000 words in November, you have not failed at all. Because I will bet you money that those are, you would not have written 35,000 words in November without NaNoWriMo. So there, unless you honestly like sign up and then don't write at all month, there's no failing. Because if you write with NaNoWriMo in mind, then you're probably writing more words than you would have regardless. So if you don't hit 50,000, that doesn't mean you failed. If you've written your novel into a corner, that doesn't mean you failed. You're learning, you're still getting words down, and that is, you know, that's why I do it every year. And I fail and I feel a little bad, but I realize I was still more productive than I would have been otherwise. Starvin says, fell out of writing practice for a couple of months, considering using NaNoWriMo to get back into it, so worried about being able to keep up with pace. Yeah, it's, the various ways of dealing with that are setting a, working on your habit now. I think last year we talked about, like, training for NaNoWriMo, in that, you know, marathon runners don't train for marathons by running 26 miles. They like run 10, and then they'll, a couple of weeks later, they'll up it to 12 and up it to 15. And then like, if they know if they can run 20 miles, then they can do the marathon. But every single training plan I've seen about marathons, no one says go out and run 26 miles. And so if you're worried about, you know, momentum or getting into it, then think about starting writing 500 words a day today. And then next week up to 750, and then the final week up to 1,000. And then if you're writing consistently every day, then you're just pushing it a little higher. Another thing to do is, if you're having a good day, push as hard as you can past that and create a buffer for yourself. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know they're out there and there's probably several people watching, but I don't personally know a lot of people who has actually, the words are failing. It's difficult for me to imagine a November where I don't have one day where I simply just can't write. That has a lot of negatives in it. Basically saying, I can't imagine writing that much every single day. And so that's why I endorse, give yourself a buffer early when you're fresh. And then when you have a day, think, this is my day off, and that's okay. And then you'll feel a lot better about it. And then the next day, get back to it. But think about the training plan. Think about building yourself a buffer. And remember what I just said. If you can't keep up with pace, but you still get a lot of writing done, you've won. I don't care what NaNoWriMo says, you've won. I'll give you a badge. I'll design one. Or I'll have my daughter do it, because I can't draw for crap. Bill says, I find that if you have a daily goal of maybe 200 words above the minimum, it gives you enough words to make it through the holiday if there's a problem on Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's a good idea. Maybe not a huge buffer, just try to get like 1900 words a day. And that will add up. I am looking forward to this year because, that's right, that was one of the things I was going to talk about. I'm looking forward to this year because I'm going to be taking episodes from previous years where I've done a daily NaNoWriMo show, and I'm taking it, I'll be pushing those out on the feed, and then for this live stream, I'll be doing a live write-in. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to pull that off, because I still want to keep to my Twitch schedule. But I know people appreciate it when it's like, people feel more accountability if their camera's on too. So I don't know if I'm going to do like a, I guess I could do a Discord call for Twitch. That might work. If everybody involved is interested, and if you're not, just keep your camera off, or don't call in and just join us. But I'm excited about the live write-in ideas. So it's, that's how I'm going to be working on my month. And what makes me excited about it, why I said it that way, is because I realize that I can't support, I should be writing the podcast and write a NaNoWriMo's worth of words. It's now its own measurement. A NaNoWriMo's worth of words in the same month. So this month I'm actually preparing for it because in this case, the NaNoWriMo, that content is evergreen. And if you are a longtime listener and you've heard those episodes before, I think you'll probably still be okay to rehear them. Rehear them? The words are getting weird. I don't know. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you guys was, if you are interested in joining me on those write-ins, do you have a preferred... Would you like your camera on? Or would you just prefer to be watching me stand there and write and not say very much for an hour? I will be calling breaks and, you know, offering chat and discussion. But otherwise, it will be largely quiet. But if you're planning on joining me, I'm curious what would work best for you. I'm thinking of doing a completely separate Discord server for NaNoWriMo, because right now Patreon Discord is for Patreon only, Patreon supporters only. But if I do this Discord thing, I'm gonna have to be having a public Discord. Bill says it doesn't matter to you on camera. So either way works, is what you're saying? I'm very amused by this. I'm sorry. I'm just... It amuses me. So yeah, if you have thoughts, let me know. You know, the write-ins are for you. And if I do something that doesn't work for you, then I'm wasting my time too. Camera could be interesting, maybe, says Kay Kimmy. No preference. Ancela, I'd like an option to be on camera. Okay. All right. And mostly because I'll probably get more work done if there's a chance someone's looking at me. Yeah, that's what I mean, the accountability. I know that the one time I tried it on Twitch, I definitely did more because I was aware I was on camera. I was distracted by some random people dropping into chat, annoying me, and you know, finally asking if it's a silent video and what was going on, and asking me to say their name, and I'm just like, no, this is a writing. Read the description. So I have to make sure I'll get the description right on those. But yeah, I think the multiple camera idea works, and if you don't want your camera on, that's perfectly fine. Or you don't even want to call in. I'm not gonna make anybody do that. But if the accountability thing works for you, then I would like to offer it. So we are up on an hour. My planning was to do 30-minute long I Should Be Writings, and they kind of crept up to an hour, which makes me happy, because people usually say they like the longer shows. So I want to thank you again for you guys in the chat for talking to me, and you guys, y'all not in the chat, but lurking is just fine. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. And if you're listening to this later, or watching it later, because I'm starting to upload to YouTube, then I appreciate your time. I hope that this has helped at least a little bit. If you have more questions about NaNoWriMo prep, please email me at mightymer@gmail.com, and I will get to it on Thursday, which is my next live show, 12:30 Eastern Time. And yeah, my website is merverse.com, where you can see the books I've written. And the other podcast I do with Matt Wallace, which is not live video, it's all audio, called Ditch Diggers, which addresses the business part of writing instead of the craft and emotional part, which is more what I Should Be Writing's all about. And definitely want to practice. Sorry, K. Kimmy says, would definitely want to practice run to figure out how to dial in and stuff. That is a great idea. I'm going to write that down to schedule for late October. Thank you. That was a good idea. But yeah, thank you guys. I do want to plug my newest project, which is Escape Pod, the anthology, which is was co-edited by myself and SB Divya. It has a new Six Wakes story in it, and has stories from John Scalzi and N.K. Jemisin and Greg Van Eekhout and Sarah Gailey and Tina Connolly and Mary Robinette Kowal and Maurice Broaddus and Tobias Buckel and just Ken Liu and just so many amazing people who have helped make Escape Pod what it's been for the past 15 years. And if you don't know what Escape Pod is, escapepod.org. It is the science fiction podcast magazine that's been going on for 15 years, of which I am now co-editor. I didn't start it. But anyway, our anthology is coming out in the UK in October and the US in November. So check that out. And thank you all for dropping by. And remember, even if you don't do NaNoWriMo, if you're watching this, I assume that you agree with me when I say you should be writing.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I